Get any better than that. Amen. Now for the second message. And you continue to pray. And we will have, let me say this, we will have the address of Trista in the bulletin by next week. If you want it, let us know today and we'll definitely get it to you. Well, let me invite you to take your Bible and turn with me to the book of 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Now, as you're turning to 1 Thessalonians, let me ask you a question. What would you do if you knew today, before the end of this message, the Lord Jesus Christ would come again? We hear a lot about the end of the world. We hear a lot about signs of the times. We hear a lot about things regarding that. But did you know the next thing on the calendar, on the agenda of the Lord Jesus Christ, on the agenda of God, is to come and to take His church home? You may not hear a lot about it, but the Bible makes it very clear that there is going to come a day, a time, and it's going to be so quick, it's going to be like lightning, when Jesus Christ comes to receive His church unto Himself. Many New Testament writers talked about that. When you look at the writings of Paul, he wasn't looking for signs, he was looking for a person. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 17, listen to what Paul says. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. Watch what happens. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And then if you'll turn back to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 51 and 52, Paul is encouraging the saints of God to be ready for the Lord's return. And that is something that I want to share with you this morning, expecting the return of the Lord. Paul is talking to the Corinthian saints, and he's reminding them of the coming of Christ. And listen to what he says in 1 Corinthians 15, 51 and 52. 1 Corinthians 15, 51 and 52. Listen to what he says. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. Now the word sleep means die. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Watch this. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. One of the realities of Scripture that God wants you and me to understand throughout the pages of His Word is this. There is coming a day, a moment, a time, in which like lightning, He's going to come, and He's going to receive His church unto Himself. You may say, now, Pastor, when is that going to be? Well, we'll get into that in just a moment. But you and I need to understand that this promise is said in the Word of God. Sometimes somebody will say, I just don't really believe that, and I just don't believe this, this, and this. But God makes it very clear that all of His promises are established, and they're sure, and they're certain. As a matter of fact, if you'll look in different passages of Scripture, and you can turn in these, or you can look at them in your outline, the Bible makes it very clear that His return is a promise. Listen, the Bible says that when Jesus Christ came the first time, that was a promise of God. 500 to 700 years before Jesus Christ splashed down the first time, God promised through His prophets what was going to happen. Do you realize that God made it very clear that where Jesus was going to be born, that Jesus was going to be born, and exactly the way He was going to die? Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years before the very first coming of Christ, the Bible tells you and me exactly what was going to happen. As a matter of fact, the Bible says in Isaiah 9:6, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, And the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. In other words, Isaiah wrote about 500 to 700 years before the very first coming of Christ. Isaiah wasn't writing about 2 or 3 days before the coming of Christ, the first time, his landing here when he was born. He prophesied hundreds and hundreds of years before the very first coming of Christ, saying that there is going to come one. His name's going to be called Counselor. His name's going to be called Wonderful, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Well, we know that was so 2,000 years ago. We know where Jesus was born. The Bible says that he was born in Bethlehem, and that's exactly where Jesus was born. And not only does it say that he was going to come, but watch carefully in the book of Micah, chapter 5, it even tells you and me the city. Now, Micah prophesied about 500 years before the birth of Christ the first time. And he made it very clear that there's going to be a place that this Messiah is going to be born. He's going to be born in a city of Bethlehem. Well, you've read the Gospels, and you know that for that to take place, there had to be a census, but God was governing the very birthplace where Jesus Christ would be born, which was prophesied 500 years before. What's the reason I'm saying this? Because you need to know that every single prophecy in Scripture, every single promise of God is going to come through. It doesn't matter if you and I can figure it out or not. And so the Bible says in the book of Micah, chapter 5, verse 2, "But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be the ruler in Israel, whose going forth have been from of old, from everlasting." So the Bible even reveals exactly where Jesus was going to be born. Now, if God can tell us 500 years beforehand when Jesus Christ is going to be born, where he's going to be born, how he's going to be born, and how he's going to die, because the Bible says in Isaiah 53 how Jesus Christ was going to die. Listen carefully. Now, this is before his first coming. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Watch this. "He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before a shearer is dumb, so opened he not his mouth." Now, here's the point. Every promise in the Word of God is true and flawless, and there is absolutely no disputing they are going to come true. Amen? And you go back and you look in Scripture, and listen, you look at some of the wonderful miracles in Scripture, and you can understand why an atheist, an agnostic, and a person that's foolish says, "Well, I just don't believe the Bible." You know why? Because they look at the miracles and they look at Moses and God parting the water and all the wonderful miracles in Scripture and all throughout the Old Testament and New Testament when God raised Lazarus from the dead and God did all these things through his son Jesus Christ in the New Testament. No wonder that there's a lot of foolish people who talk about, "Well, I just don't believe that. I don't believe it's going to happen." Listen, that doesn't change the fact that they're from the very heart of God. And the Bible says that, and Paul makes it very clear, "This I'm telling you by the word of the Lord." In other words, there is going to come a day in the calendar of God that he is going to tell his son, "Go get the church." Now, when is that day going to come? Can it come in 2011? You better believe it can. Everything is in motion. Jesus Christ could come today for his church. You don't hear a lot about it, because there's a lot of people that don't want to think about what we call the rapture. Now, you'll not find the word rapture in the Bible at all, but you'll find exactly what it means, because it comes from the Latin, and the word literally means a catching away. And the Bible makes it very clear that just as Jesus Christ was prophesied the first time, and he came exactly the way that he said he was going to come, so it's going to be the second time. As a matter of fact, you know, you look all throughout Scripture, and it's promised. Jesus made it very clear himself. Listen to what Jesus said in John 14, 3. You know, we can't figure it out, but listen to what Jesus said himself. "If I go away and prepare a place for you," the next words are what? "I will come again. I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Now, Jesus isn't speaking about death. He's not speaking about the end of the world. You know, the disciples came to Jesus one time, and they was talking in Matthew 24, and they said, "What will be the sign of these things and of your coming and of the end of the world?" He was talking about the destruction of Jerusalem, first question. The second question, your coming, what's going to be the end of the world? You see, here's what we mess up. We oftentimes think, well, you know, we're just waiting until on the end of the age. We're waiting on the end of the world. I'm not. I'm waiting on the rapture, because the Bible clearly says that the rapture is next on the agenda of God. And it says it all throughout the New Testament, and I'll show you some other places. But Jesus makes it very clear. He said, I'm going to come again. Jesus made it very clear that the next thing that is going to take place for you and me is going to be the catching away. As a matter of fact, even the angels talked about it. In Acts chapter 1, verse 10 and 11, the very angels of God declared, this same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go into heaven. And, you know, they pronounced the coming of Christ. And even James, the brother of Jesus, he said, be patient therefore, brethren, until the coming of the Lord, in James chapter 5, verse 7. John in the New Testament, he said it this way, now little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. Now, well, when is he going to come? You don't know the day, and I don't know the day, and I don't know the hour. But Jesus makes it very clear, and it's interesting, we'll get to this in just a moment, but three times, and over three times, Jesus makes it very clear that he's going to come quickly. He is going to come in the blink of an eye. Do you know how fast the blink of an eye is? It is said that you blink your eye at 1/100th of a second. In other words, the next time that Jesus comes, he's going to come and he's going to receive the church. Now, are you saying the Baptist church, the Methodist church, the church of God? I'm talking about the born-again believers, those bought by the blood and bound by the word of God. That is the next thing on the agenda of God, and I'm going to show you precisely how he's going to do it in just a moment. But Scripture makes it very clear, and Paul made it very clear. He talked about the second coming of Christ. Matter of fact, in 1 Corinthians 11:26, he said, as often you eat this bread and drink this cup, you show the Lord's death till he comes. Now, here's the point. Paul did not live in a day of looking for signs. Paul was not looking for signs. He was looking for a person. He was looking for the very person of Jesus Christ to come. Let me ask you a question. Are you anticipating his coming? You see, the Bible makes it very clear that there is going to be an age, there's going to be a people, there's going to be a day and time in which he comes, that they're not going to expect it, and he's going to come. And I'll show you just a little bit what Scripture communicates, how he's going to come. But the Bible makes it very clear, God has already decreed it. It's a promise of God. Now, you may think about the end of the world, and a lot of people talk about the Antichrist and the mark of the beast and all of this. But listen carefully. According to some of the best theologians, the coming, the rapture will take place 7 years prior to the end of the world. And I've been reading some very interesting material, some things that are taking place, and Jesus makes it very clear. When you see the fig tree blossom like a rose, and the fig tree always represents Israel. In other words, so many things are coming together, setting the stage for the end of the age. Well, the end of the age is not the rapture of the church. The church is going before it. Think about how close could we be to the end of the church age. In other words, the rapture of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. You may say, well, Pastor, I've never heard about the rapture. But the truth about it is it's been in Scripture for 2,000 years. Jesus makes it very clear that there's going to be a catching away. Now, you say, well, when's it going to be? Well, the Bible says that God's not told anybody. You know, Matthew 24:36, of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Now, Jesus is talking to his disciples. He's not wanting to confuse them, but he says, I want you to know that nobody knows. You say, well, if nobody knows, then I can just keep on living like I want to. The fact that you don't know doesn't mean that it couldn't be today. See, the Bible makes it very clear. The angels in heaven don't know. God didn't tell any of the apostles. Jesus Christ himself does not know when the rapture is going to take place. You say, Jesus doesn't know? That's what the Bible says. But listen very carefully. The Bible makes it very clear that there is going to come a day that there's going to be the rapture, the taking away of the church. There's going to come a day that you're walking down the street, and the Bible says, and we'll get into that in just a moment, that there's going to be one person there and another person's gone. You see, while they're, you know, Many have a desire to set a date for the coming of Christ, and I've received information, material, and people setting dates about the end of the world and all of this and that. Nobody knows the date, but here's the reality of the Word of God. The Bible says, makes it very clear and very candid, that the rapture is coming. Makes it very clear that the going home of the church is going to take place soon. Can you just imagine? Use your God-given imagination in a positive way. Imagine you're in the middle of a Sunday school hour, or imagine you're in the middle of a worship service, and all of a sudden, today is the day of the rapture. There's going to be something that's going to take place, and I'm going to walk you through what we know Scripture says, because God does want you to know that much of it. And so, you know, how's it going to take place? Well, I want you to look very carefully. One thing that Jesus reminds you and me in the book of the Revelation, three particular times he says, "Behold, I come quickly." In Revelation 22:7, "Behold, I come quickly." And then Revelation 22:12, he says, "Behold, I come quickly." You know, you sort of get a clue with all of that, that Jesus says, I want you to know that I'm going to come, and it's not going to be at all like you think. It's not going to be that everyone's going to run outside and they're going to stare and all of a sudden they're going to see Jesus getting closer and closer. Let me tell you what it's going to be like. All of a sudden, you're walking down the road. Your mind, and if it's today, it'd be something like this. All of a sudden, you're walking down the road, you're in your car, you're sitting in church, and there is this most awesome, piercing, lightning universal that the world has never known. And at the end of that lightning, the unredeemed of the earth will collect their senses, and all of a sudden they'll look around and they'll find their husband or wife, brother, sister, mother, father, gone. The Bible says in the twinkling of an eye, in 1/100th of a second, there will be a massive vanishing from the earth. You say, well, now wait just a minute. You don't hear that because a lot of people never communicate it, but it's in the Word of God. Just as Jesus had a secret ministry and then had a public ministry, there's going to be the secret catching away of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And people are going to look around and they're going, where in the world is everybody? Where in the world are all the believers? If it happened right this moment, would you be one that would be going? There would be a vanishing out of this congregation. All the redeemed. How quickly would it happen? The Bible says in 1/100th of a second. You say, how do you know the Bible doesn't give? In the twinkling of an eye. In other words, have you ever listened to thunder? Have you ever listened to lightning or seen it? And you hear the sounds. All of a sudden, you know, it's got a twofold sound. And in my mind, I thought, well, that first sound is the resurrection of the dead. And that second sound is the ascension of us that are living on this earth. Listen, that's what the Bible says. Watch carefully. Watch carefully. The Bible makes it very clear. Listen to what he says. In 1 Thessalonians 15:51, watch what Paul says. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. Now, the word sleep literally means die. Wouldn't you love for Jesus to come and take the church in your lifetime? You don't have to die. You don't have to get sick. You don't have to pick out a coffin. You know, you wouldn't pick out the coffin anyway. So you're next to, maybe you already have pictures out. Some people do. But can't you just imagine, all of a sudden, now think about it. Wouldn't it be exciting? All of a sudden, I'm getting ready to make my next point and we're gone. You say, Pastor, is it going to happen that way? That's exactly the way the Bible says it's going to happen. There is going to be a sudden, it's going to be a monumental, universal, like lightning. Why? Because the Lord Jesus is coming for his saints. He is coming for his church. And if you're not redeemed at that moment, you're going to be left behind. You're not going to have plenty of time to think it through. All of a sudden, you realize that your brother's gone or your sister's gone. I just think about this, and I was thinking how it could happen. Here's a husband watching TV, watching a ball game. Maybe it's a University of Kentucky ball game. And all of a sudden, that like lightning sound. And after it's all over, he comes to himself, and he says, honey, you all right? Honey, goes in the kitchen where she's been working, and she's gone. He remembers the kids and goes and checks on them. He just realizes they've just been saved not too long ago, and mom's taken them to church, and he goes and looks for them, and they're gone. Is it going to happen? The Bible says it's going to happen. The Bible says, at the word of the Lord. In other words, it is decreed, all heaven will bear witness that it is coming. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. Oh, I can just, I've tried to think through this. It sort of almost kept me up trying to think, you know, how's it going to happen? You're going to be going about your life as usual. That's what the Bible says. Listen, and you think about it, you know, and if you're lost, friend, you're sitting here, and let's say it happens today. Let's just say, pretend for a moment, the Lord Jesus comes today. You say, well, you know, all the signs aren't such for the end of the world. I'm not talking about the end of the world. I'm talking about the rapture. For us saints of God, we're leaving. You're going to stay around here, but we're going. And all of a sudden, the Bible says we're caught up. The dead in Christ have already been raised, and we go in a twinkling of an eye, and all of a sudden, you look around, and where's my wife? Somebody will remember then, whenever it happens, whatever age it is, somebody's going to remember. You know, I heard a preacher preach about a thing called the rapture. And they're going to say to news reporters, well, you know, somewhere in the Bible it talks about this catching away. Can't you just imagine what ABC, NBC, CBS, and all the networks will do? But here's the point. It's going to come like lightning. And listen, if you are unredeemed, friend, every godly witness will be gone at that point. Now think about this for just a moment. Imagine living in this world when there's not a single redeemed person in this world. There's no salt left. There's no light because the church is taken home. Paul says, I'm looking for him. You know, the point is this, it's coming like lightning in 1/100th of a second. You know, papers will try to cover it. Maybe that husband said, you know, my wife talked about that and said, I just made fun of her. Now, I want you to notice something. Have you ever noticed in history how the ungodly have laughed at believers? But in the end, they do not have the last laugh, do they? In the beginning, God told Noah to build an ark. Can't you just imagine all them ostracizing Noah? That spiritual lunatic out there, he is fixing some sort of ship, and he thinks there's going to be this thing called a flood. And the Bible says they knew not until it washed them all away. Traveling up here this morning, I was trying to think, Lord, if today is the day of rapture, how will you do it? Now, there's no way we can know, but you use your God-given imagination. But the point is this. It is coming. It's coming at the word of the living God. I may be that living generation. You may be that living generation. But the point of Scripture is this. It's coming. Paul says it's coming in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. And he said, I have it from the very word of the living God. I have it from him himself. You see, here's the reality. There's going to be millions and billions on the earth. They're not going to know what in the world happened. Can you imagine a vanishing of hundreds and thousands and thousands and thousands? Now, the world's not over. Be mindful of this. The world will keep on going around and around and around for a while. But the church is gone. The conscience of the land is gone. Those who have the redemption of God in them are gone. And they've gone to join. You see, that's why it's so important for you, my dear friend, if you're lost this morning. I'm not going to give you a promise that you can live through the day. I mean, you may live 50, 60 more years. You say, good, that's wonderful. I'm not telling you that the church will be here then. We can go at any moment. In the twinkling of an eye, we can be gone. Because Paul said, I say this at the word of the Lord. You see, not only that, but lastly, it is a most unexpected event. Listen to what Jesus says in Matthew 24. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not. Let me show you when Jesus could have come this way. How many of you, don't answer this out loud and raise your hand, but you didn't think about Jesus coming this past week. It is such a monumental event that you didn't think, it's not going to happen in my lifetime. There's no way it's going to happen. Jesus said that's exactly when it's going to happen. People are going to go around doing their own thing. And listen, one man will be grinding at the mill. The Bible says, listen what it says. In Matthew 24, 40, listen how Jesus says it. There shall be two in the field. One shall be taken, the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill. One shall be taken and the other left. Can you just imagine two women grinding at the mill? All of a sudden, one's getting ready to hand her something, and all of a sudden, she's gone. She's vanished. Where's she gone? She's been caught up to meet the Lord in the air. That's why Paul says, live in such a way. And listen, when you live in such a way, realizing that the Lord Jesus could very well come today, it will change your life. It will change the very way you live and you conduct your life. Why? Because today could very well be the day of the rapture of the church. Paul, 2,000 years ago, listen, 2,000 years ago he was expecting it. And think about it. If that was 2,000 years ago, think how much closer we are to the rapture today than in the days of Paul. In such a day as you think, oh, listen, you know, you just think, here you are riding along with somebody, and it'd probably be wiser for the unbeliever to be driving. You pray that both of you are believers. But here's what I've thought about. Here's two people in the car. Unbeliever is driving, and all of a sudden, the other one's gone. You say, is there a picture of that in Scripture? Yes, there is. I won't ask you to turn back there. But do you remember when Philip went down and he preached to the Ethiopian eunuch? And preached to the Ethiopian eunuch, and all of a sudden, he was caught up, and he found himself in a completely different location. Can't you just imagine the wonderful thought? All of a sudden, the Lord comes today, and you're not listening to me preach. All of a sudden, you're in the presence of God. You're in the very presence of Jesus Christ. That's what the Bible says by the word of the Lord. You know, Paul makes it very clear. It's going to be an unexpected event. Let me ask you a question. If Jesus Christ come today for the church, would he find you as a child of God being obedient to him? First and foremost, would he find you being a child of God? I've tried to think in my mind how horrible it would be to be left. The horror of knowing you weren't taken. Some of you sitting here this morning won't be taken. Some of you won't go. You look good on the outside, but the Lord knows his redeemed. He's not coming for church members. He's coming for his redeemed. And can you imagine pretending and playing and putting a good face to it? But when that day comes and Jesus comes, all of a sudden you find you were left behind. What will it be like? Blink. Now, on three, I want to ask you to do this with me. I want you to blink. One, two, three. Blink. It's over. Can you imagine? In that time, you don't have time to pray a prayer. You don't have time to ask God to forgive you of your sins. In that time frame, the church is gone. Caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. What about you? Are you going? Do you know that you know that you know that you know you're heaven bound? You see, here's one thing God will never do. He'll never make you get ready. He won't make a single person be saved. But here's one thing you'll live knowing. that you was left behind. If it happens today. If it happens today, you'll know that I was left. I heard some messages and I thought, they do good. They help you a little bit. And all of a sudden you realize it's more than just making you feel good. It's preparing you for eternity. Preparing you for heaven. Preparing you for paradise. Is that if the Lord came today, would He find you being bitter? You say, well, the Lord's not going to come until I'm right. I disagree with you. You know, Paul made it very clear. And there's going to be some believers that are taken up, that they've got bitterness and anger and hatred in their heart. They'll still be taken up. But the Lord will deal with them. What about you? Are you prepared for that day? Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for Your word. We thank You so much for the fact that You're coming. And You're going to catch the saints up. So shall we ever be with You. In a blinking of an eye, and it's over. Lord, thank You for this truth. And I pray for that man, that woman, that boy, that girl, that person who may have religion, but they don't have a relationship with God through Jesus. I pray that You'd speak to their heart, speak to their spirit right now. May they invite Jesus Christ into their life before it really is too late. In Jesus, I pray.